Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is June 3rd, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motorvitality.com and watching years and years and listening to years and years and years worth of archives, or by subscribing to whatever podcast application you happen to use, like Google Podcast or Stitcher. You guys probably think that I advertise for those podcast applications, but honestly, I don't really care which one you use. I just am glad to have you here live, and if you can't be, or if you want to go back and review something, then you can pick a podcast application and listen to it there. Glad to have you here, though. I am just a heads up, driving today, hopefully I don't drop you guys. If I do, then you'll be in the capable hands of Jen. I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country? Or anything that that we can help you with? Any questions or thoughts we can help you with? Anybody have anything?
Kelly, I do.
Go ahead, Jen.
I'll throw one out there. Just a reminder, tis the season. We talked about the flushing of the hydrants, but tis the season of the phone calls of, I think my water softener has, or my brine tank has a leak in it. Now is the time humidity is going to start kicking up. In most states, not so much Michigan, but humidity is going to start kicking up, and water softeners and brine tanks are going to start sweating. So just a reminder, when you're getting those phone calls, it might just be a quick run out and let them know, no, it's just condensation. When you answer those calls, don't make them feel like they're idiots. I think that's really important also. But that's when we're going to start getting these phone calls. I think I already saw a post on Facebook about it.
So thank you, Jen. That's really good. I know we've talked about this a ton in the past. Just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about plumbing assessments and what were on them and stuff like that. And we've talked about salespeople spending time writing with the techs and going out. And I can tell you, 23 years of doing this, I've always known that one of the ways you can piss off a service or install technician more than anything is to give them the wrong information on a plumbing assessment, to have them prepped to do one thing and to go out and realize that it's something completely different. I knew that from a sales perspective. I have known that from a management perspective. I've ridden with service techs and installers. I can tell you, I'm working with a client in New York, and over the last few weeks have been helping them with some actual installs, something I haven't had a lot of experience in. Even if I understand the concepts on how to put the stuff in, I haven't done a ton of it. And I can tell you, there's an install that I've been working on for the last couple weeks with them where the equipment was sold before the house was done. So the specs were done. There was a room. It was sized up, nicely done with it. But then when we went out to do the install, and this is a huge commercial system, huge house, gargantuan house, 2-inch main. And the room where the equipment was going to go in is all the same. What is different is duct work, which took about 16 inches of height away in the basement, a furnace, some piping for a lot of different things, which means that you can't put a commercial brine tank in because there's no room to get it past the piping, where and the location they want to go. And I mean, it, just all kinds of things. And so there's, you know, sometimes there's nothing you can do other than to recheck when it's all done, maybe to look at the plans and the specs and to think about those things ahead of time, you know, be, when you're sizing it up, to ask the questions and maybe work on timing. But, you know, sometimes it's just going to happen where you don't have the ability to give as much information. I can tell you this experience has given me so much respect for installers that go out there and adjust on the fly and work around things that they, you know, that either were given information that was given to them wrong or that wasn't in the original plans. Make it as easy as possible, you guys, on your installers. Spend as much time with them as you can to understand what they run into out there. I cannot stress enough how critical they are to the, you know, to your job. If you're in sales, or if you're in a company or owner, your installers are absolutely critical to what you do, and we need to give them as much information as possible. They're long days, you know, they're long days, and it's hard work. I can tell you, for me right now, just even having done this last couple of weeks, my body is sore and my hands are sliced to heck. And this is the daily life of installers who do this on a, you know, from a year to year basis. So that's the one thing that I've learned that I just wanted to really reiterate to you guys, that it's just so critical to have respect for your service and install team. Be aware of what they're doing out there. So. Anybody else have anything they want to add or anything in that regard? You guys still with me? Jen?
We are.
Okay. good silence there. Okay. All right. Sorry, you guys. Like I said, I'm driving here hopefully, you know, if you hear a big loud crash, bang, I'm hands-free, so we should be good there. But anyway, I wanted to talk about just kind of a fun topic today. And after the, you know, the service and install lecture, let's lighten it up a little bit and talk something fun. There's a movie that honestly, Corey, I know you saw it when it came out. I have not had a chance to watch it yet. Called Dark Waters, with Mark Ruffalo in it, and it's about the PFAS contamination. It's based on the case that are you guys hearing that noise? Is that me or is that somebody else?
We don't hear a noise. I don't.
Okay. All right. I was hearing a really loud noise there. Sorry about that. It might be my hands-free. But this Dark Waters, anybody else seen that? Seen Dark Waters?
Anybody else? I have it on the watch list. Is it on Netflix?
No, it's I think on Showtime right now. So
it might be on Prime. You might want to.
You can rent it on Prime, but it's on Showtime. I looked at this. So, but anyway, it got me thinking about how movies impact what we do, you know, how Hollywood has an impact on what we do. And I thought it might be fun to kind of discuss it and see how often. There's one movie in particular that I know since the beginning of the time I've been in the industry, it's been that comes up almost constantly, and that's Aaron Brockovich. Most people have seen that movie by now, right? Have you guys seen Aaron Brockovich, or has anybody not seen Aaron Brockovich? Here's a little snap quiz. What is the contaminant that is responsible for everybody getting sick in Aaron Brockovich?
Chromium-6.
Very good. Very good. Chromium-6. Do you know what the contaminant in Dark Waters is?
No, because I haven't seen it.
It's PFAS, that's right. PFAS, and that's PFAS is... What was that?
I said, you had just said that. I was paying attention.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that one's PFAS. How about A Civil Action with John Travolta?
Lead.
No.
Okay. I don't know. I never heard of that.
That was a good
one.
Guess though, and I expect we will see one of these movies come out about Flint at sometime in the near future. You know, it's too ripe of a story. You know, because these movies all basically, a lot of them follow the same template. There's this big corporation, some unsuspecting lawyer who doesn't specialize in this type of thing gets called out to go do, you know, to look into it, gets trapped, realizes that there's a big undercover, you know, cover up on stuff. There's people getting sick. Everybody's afraid to sue the company because the company has too much money and they are the employer of everybody in the area. And then there's a big lawsuit and settlement and Hollywood makes some money. So they all follow kind of the same, but there's some other little plot twists and things in them sometimes. And the scary thing is most of them are based sometimes loosely on true stories, you know, based on real events. So, you know, Aaron Brockovich was PS&G, I think, you know, Dark Waters is DuPont and, 3M, I think. And a Civil Action, I can't remember the company that was there, but that's trihalomethanes. Trichloroethylene was A Civil Action. That's one with John Travolta, and it's kind of the same thing, you know, where you have the lawyer that goes in and does the stuff, and then you have your documentaries. The one that was more real, the documentary, this I think it was on Netflix. I don't know where it's at now, but it's called The Devil We Know or The Devil We Knew. Also about the PFAS. That's actually, if you can get a hold of that documentary, it's a really good one to watch because of, you know, it goes in and talks about, it explains what the forever chemicals are in easy to understand ways. You know, it explains the history of them. And then there's another one called Gasland. This was when fracking, hydraulic fracturing was a big issue. So Gasland is, that's actually kind of an interesting one to watch. A few years back, and we have this in the archives, we actually had a fracking expert on our call. And if you ever want to learn a little bit objectively about fracking, about hydraulic fracturing and, you know, what its pros and cons are, what the actual concerns with contamination are, those types of things, then I would encourage you to go back and try and find that interview that we did. We had a live guest from a guy that wasn't part of our industry, but that was heavily involved with government relations, and I think he was government relations and educating people kind of on the pros and cons, both sides of the fracking issue. The thing that one made me realize is that, first off, when you see a movie, well, I'll say this for my summary. Let me ask you guys, because I wanted this to kind of be a fun discussion here. How often does what people see on TV or in the movie theater, how often does it come up in conversation with you guys, in your sales presentation, with your customers? And, you know, how do you handle it? Do you brush it off? What do you say about it? How does the conversation go, if it happens at all?
So I've had a couple people bring up the Zac Efron one,
yeah,
with Martin, the water,
yep,
connoisseur.
Yeah, that's the alkaline water. We talked about that one a little bit last year. Yeah, that's exactly, that's one. So that one is still coming up. People are still talking about that.
It's come up a couple, three times over the past year.
Yeah.
And basically what I discuss with them is, yes, he's talking about different waters that have different minerals, and that's not necessarily something you can get here, but it also doesn't mean that it's necessarily any better for you. Just because it has a high TDS, you don't know what's in that total dissolved solids.
Yeah.
So I said,
yeah.
I said, and let's face it, are you really going to spend several hundred dollars to ship 2,000 TDS water from France to drink on a regular basis?
Well, then, yeah,
oh,
right.
No.
That was the guy that took off his feet, took off his shoes and felt the energy from the grass too, I think, right? Or the guy he was with did.
Yeah, the guy he was with.
Uh-huh. That was actually the thing with Zac Efron, and we talked about that a little bit, but you're absolutely right, Stacey. You can't, those shows are done with huge budgets and in a way that people, you know, they look very convincing, very believing. And Zac Efron is frankly credible. And I thought that he was fairly objective in that too. I thought, you know, it was a half hour show. And so there's no way to delve deep into everything that they talked about. I did like that they talked about using ozone technology, you know, in water treatment in Europe. And, you know, and so but the important thing, you know, and the relevance to this call is that it's coming up. That, and so what would, you know, that it's making, people are asking you questions. They're asking you questions because they see you as an expert. And
yes.
So delving into it and knowing about it, you know, as much as, and people also recognize that it's Hollywood, that it's a Hollywood twist. And so answering
yeah.
the question that you did, you know, hey, you know, sure, TDS, a lot of people believe that having high TDS does that. I've not really seen any real science to back it up. And I
mm-hmm.
think it's hard for somebody like Zac Efron to really address all of the science and the history and all the pros and cons in a half-hour show. But it's interesting to continue to research.
Yeah.
You know, now let's talk about what I can give you. You know, what I can offer you.
You cannot discount their thoughts, their questions, their, you know, how they're feeling, because, you know, in some cases, if it's a young woman, she grew up worshiping Zac Efron.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Because he was High School Musical, right?
Oh, yeah.
See, let's say I'm asking that as if I wasn't glued to every single episode every, you know, every time. I know them all. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, you have a daughter of that age group.
Yeah. So, no, you're absolutely right. They grew up with it. So that one comes up. One of the things that I see sometimes with clients, particularly when it's actually found in the water, are those clients that use, there's one company that I'm aware of that in their sales presentation goes out and circles it on the consumer quality report, the CCR, the chromium 6. And they, you know, they use that. This is the Aaron Brockovich chemical. This is the Aaron Brockovich chemical. This is, and I mean, they use it now. I don't agree with using it quite the way they do, because it's a scare tactic for sure. And, you know, the way they're doing it, because they're hoping that the, you know, the Hollywood version of fear, 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 fear that came out in that movie will translate to them buying something from, you know, from the company, right? But it do you guys run into anybody who uses those movies? You know, on one hand, I don't like the idea of using it for fear, but I also understand that is a way that people will understand, you know, what it is. You say chromium 6, nobody knows chromium 6. When you say the chemical that was in Aaron Brockovich, more people are likely to know that one. You know, just like now PFAS right now is a buzzword. It's out there. It's all over the news. But in 10 years, if I don't think Dark Waters is going to have the popularity that Aaron Brockovich did, mostly because Mark Ruffalo is no Julia Roberts. But the you know, if people had seen that movie, that one or other ones, then you could say this is the Dark Waters chemical, you know. But do you guys run into it? Do you use them in your sales presentations, or do you run into other people using them, and how do you address it or use it if you do?
Hi, Kelly. It's Maria.
Hey, Maria.
Hi. So I actually see that a lot with the competitors out here. They use more of the, you know, the Chromium 6. They open a binder and have photos and give a lot of the fear. So I basically break it down and I explain what it is and what the contaminant and what the EPA levels are. And I basically give them knowledge that they don't necessarily get from the other guy, because he's really just trying to scare them into buying a system.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So how prepared would you be if you weren't, you know, number one, have you seen the movie, Maria?
Yes, a very long time ago. I don't remember. I do remember, but I don't remember.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, if you have one that comes up, you know, it's not a bad idea and would actually be considered work, I think, to sit down with some popcorn and rewatch the movie, especially if it's one that's coming up a lot, because you may, first off, you probably watched it before you came into the industry. In your case, Maria, I would say that's certainly the case. And you may actually see something now being in the industry that you didn't recognize before that you could point out. One of the things I think that, when these issues come up, so let me take Gasland, for example. I was thinking about that one because Gasland, when you watch it, it's got the scary music, they've got water burning, they've got all kinds of stuff, and there's a lot of truth to Gasland. But as with many things, especially in today's world, two different people with two different histories and interests can look at the same set of circumstances and come up with completely different viewpoints. And, you know, remember that in this documentary, the documentary is there. They need it to sell. They want people to watch it. So they're going to make it as dramatic as possible, pulling out the most dramatic pieces and the most dramatic issues with it. And that's what they're going to show. So it's a good idea when you're watching these things or you're learning about them or you're studying them and you're researching them to delve in and look at what the real story was. You know, were there circumstances that, that they're leaving out, that might make a difference when you're looking at it objectively, you know, So research it, know it, understand that when you watch a documentary, it's usually coming from one side of things, and you could watch two documentaries on the exact same issue and come away with different opinions of it. That's the case with these movies as well. You know, in the case of Aaron Brockovich and Dark Waters and The Devil We Knew and A Civil Action, you know, don't get me wrong, there were absolutely cover-ups and things done wrong, you know, by these companies. These companies went out there and you know, they took advantage of the workers they were. There's one called Coal Rush that is another one about the coal mines in West Virginia that were doing the same thing, that were, you know, dumping coal sludge into the water sources and people were dying. And you know, it always is the same story. Large company comes in, they're employing the people, they're the number one employer in the area, and they're dumping water, they're killing the same people that are there, you know, making the money and working for them. And I mean, it's just, they're the same stories, but it's important to remember that the stories are being told through the lens of Hollywood or through the lens of selling more, you know, more programs or more stories. And so it's really important to know, to be able to separate the Hollywood history from the actual history, you know, what's actually happening. I mean, let me ask you guys, you know, for example, if you watch Gasland, they talk all about the contaminated water. Where does that come from? Do you guys know where contaminated water when it comes to hydraulic fracturing or fracking, where that comes from? Anybody here know what the biggest issue with that is?
You
don't really hear this in the movie. Go ahead, Jen.
Are you talking about the methane?
No, it's the water becomes radioactive. They use radioactive contaminants, and so they forever destroy the water, which is something that I take issue with. So that when they drill down with hydraulic fracturing. You know, they drill down into the ground and they go sideways, and then they use these like high water pressure and radioactive chemicals split the shale and release the natural gas. Now this water can no longer be used. Okay, they're destroying it because it's radioactive, it's contaminated. There's no filtration. We cannot make that water potable anymore once they use it for this process. So they take the water and they store it in these big ponds, these reservoirs basically. And in order to keep it from seeping down into the ground, they have big plastic lined ponds. They're like swimming pools of this radioactive contaminated for 50,000 years contaminated water. And that's where you actually have the biggest problem with water contamination is those pools, the water that's being contaminated, you know, leaking out of those, or the contaminated water leaking out of those storage pools. So, you know, that's something that they don't really talk about that a lot in the movie Gasland. There's a lot more to what causes the water contamination. So does it take away the fact that they're contaminating potable water? No, I mean, that's happening, right? But the story is not 100% accurate when they, you know, focus on people lighting their water faucets on fire, you know, because of the methane coming into the water. So it just, there's always more to the story. So Maria, to your point, it does become important, you know, to, especially if you're running into it out there, a lot of your customers haven't seen those movies in a long time either. All they remember is that it was a good movie. They may have liked it, and oh my God, that's what killed the people in there. You know, so be able, you know, first off, remind them that this is a Hollywood view. We can fix it. It's easy. You're not running into this situation. The big issue with Aaron Brockovich is they weren't aware. It was a cover-up. Had those people had water treatment systems and reverse osmosis systems, chromium 6 would not have been an issue for their family. Although I think there's skin absorption too. So there were swimming pools and, you know, stuff like that too. Doesn't take away the problem. It doesn't take away the fact that there was an issue. But they, you know, you can certainly, the one thing that's clear in that movie is the individuals that it was most affecting were not building houses in the Hamptons. You know what I mean by that? And so, you know, we can make them aware that there is a fix to the problem, you know, that it doesn't have to be as scary as what Hollywood makes it out to be. You guys, any final thoughts or comments, or has anybody seen a movie or a show that really is you'd recommend that is relevant to the industry?
Kelly, there was the one that the documentary on Flint that's on Netflix, and I'm totally drawing a blank on the name of it, but I thought that one was very good. And the thing that I liked about it is I understood a lot of the words that they were saying, you know, because we're in the industry, but it was just like, they started talking about certain things and it's like, oh yeah, I know what that is.
Exactly.
I was able to explain it to my 21-year-old daughter that she's just like, well, I don't understand this. And so, but I thought that one was very good also. Just,
I don't remember the name of it. That one's relevant. I was looking for that when I was kind of looking these up, Jen. Let's maybe put that out on a Facebook post if you see it or something, you know, or we can put it in the description of the call. But guys, I have 9 o'clock. Biggest thing is all of these things. Jen, you make an excellent point. it's nice to know when you're watching these things to, you know, the terms that they use sometimes are designed, they're put in the script to make the average everyday viewer think that it's this really complicated thing. These people are really smart and it's complicated. Don't worry about that. But then when you hear that term that's designed there in the script to make it sound complicated and you know what it is, you're like, hey, that's kind of cool. And you're able to explain it a little bit more. So that's true. That's why I think it would be interesting to go back. I haven't watched Aaron Brockovich in a while. I think it would be interesting to go back and watch that again, knowing some of the terms and running into it and seeing it. So, Maria, let's have a popcorn party. Watch Aaron Brockovich. So, anyway, you guys, that's all I have. Thanks very much, everybody. Be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Take care.
All right, bye.